today's gospel sounds like a very common gospel, a very common action of Jesus. In the eyes of the secular world, Jesus healing the blind or healing the deaf or the mute is probably one of his most common occurrences. So I'm going to give you guys two cues to help you understand how to think of Jesus' healing ministry, because he does it often. When Jesus heals, it's not just something that's written in a history book. We're not reading this as something that happened a long time ago, though it did. We believe in a church that's alive. We believe that the Bible is alive, and it's always able to be applied to our lives. So, the two cues to help you understand this. The first is that whenever Jesus heals someone physically, it's never simply just a physical healing. That when he heals someone, it's also spiritual. We can see this guy came from the city or the region of Decapolis. The name Decapolis in Greek means the 10 cities. So it's probably this region, this cluster of towns. And it was Gentile. They weren't Jewish. So this was the first time this guy has ever interacted with Jesus. Jesus did heal his deafness and his muteness. But he also, in a certain way, healed his heart. That there was something missing in this guy's life that wasn't there until Jesus came into it. That Jesus healed his deafness and muteness, but more importantly, he healed his heart. The second point, first, is that it's not just physical healing, it's also spiritual healing. The second point is that whenever Jesus takes someone aside and performs a miracle for them, we're supposed to be able to identify with that person. We're supposed to be able to relate in some way that what Jesus is doing for this guy, he also wants to do in our lives. And I guarantee you that you have all experienced this. Now, I have never been mute or deaf, though I'm sure some of you wish us priests were a little bit more mute. But in our baptism, this happened to us. This necessarily happened to us in our baptism. I just had a baptism yesterday at the 4 p.m. Mass. And there's a rite at the very end called the Ephphatha, exactly what we hear in the gospel. It's where the priest traces the cross on the infant's mouth and on its ears. Because it's through our ears that we first hear Christ's word. And it's through our mouth that we first proclaim it. It's through our baptism that Jesus came into our life. Just like this man in the gospel, we encountered Christ in a radical way in our baptism. It is through our baptism also that we become part of the church. Jesus commands this guy to be open. He opens his ears, he opens his mouth so he's able to speak, but more importantly, he opens his heart. And that's exactly what happens to us at our baptism. That Christ comes into our life and he says, be open. And it's not just at our baptism, but it's throughout our lives. And the great thing about it is that the church is not dead. The church is alive. And we have a voice that's constantly crying out to us, telling us different ways in which we can be open. The church is alive. The way in which the church speaks through the Pope or through the bishops are always opportunities for us to be open. What the church says about going to Mass on Sundays, receiving communion, or going to confession, or maybe even some of their difficult moral teachings, we don't see these as a limitation on us. We don't see the church as being this big bully that's telling us we can't do things. But we see it as an opportunity for the church of telling us to be open, that Christ is trying to come into your life. He's trying to help you to be open. And today I have a very concrete way for you and how that's going to be practiced. I have another letter from the bishop. I promise this isn't going to be a regular occurrence. I know he doesn't want it to be either. But it's something that is particular to the city of Dickinson. All the parishes in Dickinson are going to be reading this letter at all their masses. The bishop says, "Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it has been brought to my attention that a group calling itself Catholic and in full communion with the Roman Catholic Church is building a church in Dickinson. As your bishop, I am responsible for all things Catholic in the Diocese of Bismarck, and I can assure you that this group and its current efforts are in no way approved and sponsored by me and the Roman Catholic Diocese of Bismarck. Thus, I ask you not to participate in any way spiritually or temporally with this group. This group goes by the title of the Society of St. Pius X, SSPX, and it was started in 1970 by then Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre, who is openly dissenting from the work of the Second Vatican Council. His refusal to accept certain of the Church's statements, which he openly called errors, and his subsequent ordination of four men as bishops without the permission of then Pope St. John Paul II, led to his formal excommunication along with those men and by Pope St. John Paul II in 1988. Pope St. John Paul II, Pope Benedict XVI, and Pope Francis have made heroic efforts to bring back the Roman Catholic Church, the society, and so far their efforts have not been successful. Thus, if you have been led to believe that this group is in good standing with our Catholic Church, it is not. What this group is doing here and elsewhere is causing confusion, and worse still, it is leading other well-meaning Catholics into sin. No Catholic can fulfill their Sunday obligation or their holy day of obligation by attending their services, and their marriages are not considered to be valid for Catholics. Please pray for the society's leaders that they come to their senses and return honestly and faithfully to the Roman Catholic Church. However, until that happens, no Catholic should think that they are participating in approved and licit rites of the Roman Catholic Church. With a promise of my daily prayers for all of you, I remain faithfully yours in Christ, Bishop David Kagan. Whenever there is a council or a document or something put out, there is always a group that doesn't want to accept it. There's always a group that wants to remain in the old ways. And that's what happened. This group broke off at the Second Vatican Council. And I'm sure for some of you, you may not even been aware of this. You may wonder, why do we have to read this? But I've had a lot of people come up to me, and they've already texted me or called me asking me, what's with the new Catholic Church on the north side of Dickinson? And that's why we need to address it. We need to just bring this to your attention so you're not led into confusion or error that this is not a Catholic Church, that they have broken off from the Church, that they claim to be Catholic. And in a way, you could look at this as trademark infringement, that they're saying they're Catholic, but they really aren't. The reason I bring this up, especially now in this homily, is because what they are doing is not being open. That when we see how the Church works in speaking through the Pope or the bishops in a live church is encouraging us to be open. And this is a direct way in which Bishop Kagan is encouraging us to be open, to listen to this. We're saying that this doesn't have anything to do with the Latin Mass or the way that things used to be. In the letter, he talked about how John Paul II, Pope Benedict, and Pope Francis have made heroic efforts. They've approved the celebration of the Latin Mass. We have four priests in the city of Dickinson that can celebrate the Latin Mass. But that's not it. That's not what they want. If we celebrated the Latin Mass, they wouldn't come to it. That this is a problem of not being open, a problem of disobedience. We just want to bring it to your attention that you're aware of it. So I encourage you guys that when you look at Jesus' healings, to identify yourself with whoever is in that situation, that you see there is something inside of me that maybe is preventing me from becoming open. It's in all of us, whatever it is. And it's through our prayer that we're able to discern what that is. And I encourage you guys to be honest with yourself, to ask yourself, what is it? What is it that's not allowing me to be open? And it's through that, through listening to the Church, through our bishop, through our daily prayer, that this is a constant effort within us to become open to God so that we may all become closer to Him.